You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
And on we go, Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. The assembled members of the hashtag crew with us here. Bubba, Cam, Hembo ready to go. Brandon's running around someplace. Pineapple Jack will continue to put the pieces together. And I'm doing, right in the middle of, my draft prep, if you will, my top five takes as we work our way towards the draft. These are not necessarily draft takes, but they are takes that stem from decisions teams are making right now because so many of them are being influenced by the draft. This is a year where there are six quarterbacks who I believe will all be NFL starters next season. That is not to say that they will all wind up being excellent players. In fact, history tells us there's zero chance of that. There's about the best chance is that two or three of them will wind up having really good NFL careers, and almost none of them will have the control over that unto themselves. It'll be determined as much by circumstances as anything else. That said, there are six teams in the NFL whose starting quarterback is not on their roster yet. There's Kirk Cousins. There's Justin Fields. There's Russell Wilson. And maybe there's Baker Mayfield. I keep saying maybe because I feel like it's a fait accompli. He's going back to Tampa. But I just base that on stuff I hear from people. So I guess he gets thrown in that mix also. There are 10 different, that's a third of the league, whose quarterback in theory is not on their roster right now. So much is going to change. So that's what sort of impacts these top five takes. So at number five, my take was, because if you're just joining me, the Steelers should trade for Justin Fields, but they won't. Number four, J.J. McCarthy will not get past the fifth pick in this draft. Number three, the Patriots should trade out of the third spot. I do not think they are ready for bringing in a young quarterback. I think they need to start putting together a roster. I would give Mac Jones another year and see what they can do. Give me some music back here, and I will give you my top two takes as we work our way towards this draft.
Number two.
Number two is this. If your team needs a wide receiver, boy, do I have good news for you. The wide receivers in this draft are ridiculous. Obviously, there's a cause and effect here. As college football has become much more of a passing game, much in the way that receivers have become more valuable in the NFL than running backs, thus have the same thing happened in college football. So whereas if you're my age, you remember a time where running backs came into the league and they were ready to go immediately, right? I mean, the best running back in the league was usually the guy picked that year. Eric Dickerson, Barry Sanders, Kurt Warner, not the quarterback, but the running back. Who am I forgetting about? Billy Sims, whoever it was. That guy comes into the league. Oh, he's going to be the best runner in the league for a couple of years. They would come in every single year. That's what the receivers have become. And this receiver class is ridiculous. Seven of them are going to get drafted in the first round. And I think they're all good picks when you consider the value of the position, the importance of the position, how much money it costs to get a good one. The best, besides quarterback now, maybe a great receiver on a rookie contract is about as valuable a thing as you can have. So the names you're going to keep hearing, if you're not one who's been following this stuff closely, I mean, the top end ones are Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze, but there are a bunch of others who are really, really good.
Wide receiver used to be a very difficult position to transition to in the NFL. That is no longer the case. We've seen not only highly drafted wide receivers become immediately impactful, but later ones too. Puka Nacua was the 20th receiver taken last year. Amon-Ra St. Brown was wide receiver 17. In 2021, Justin Jefferson was wide receiver 5. A.J. Brown was wide receiver 4. So we all know the top few guys in this draft. But even beyond round 1, the record for wide receivers in the first two rounds is 13. That's a record we might break too.
Absolutely. And we got guys, and we got a kid ran a 4.21 40 the other day. So this, the level of athleticism is just simply off the charts.
Number one.
But number one. So let's lose the music again. Let's talk about this. I'm not convinced Caleb Williams at one is a lock. Now, I'm being influenced by the wrong circumstances, the wrong factors on that. Because what's happening is I feel like the consensus is moving away from that. But what I must keep reminding myself is that the consensus doesn't draft the first pick, right? Like, it's not like people are going to go out and they're going to tell you who they think. They're not going to put together a whole group. Well, Mel Kiper said this, and Daniel Jeremiah said that, and, you know, all these people said whatever they said. And at the end of the night, ESPN can comfortably project that Caleb Williams is the first pick in the draft. No, this is one person's decision, one team's decision. But I feel like the Bears could choose any of those three quarterbacks, if that's what they ultimately decide to do, and still justify having traded away Justin. Let me make my point. I thought all along that the Bears were going to trade away Justin Fields because they had decided Caleb Williams was the next great one. And looking at the way this whole thing is shaping up, the way it's gone, how frantic to get rid of him they seem to be, how cold the market seems to be, and everything else, I've come around to the idea that whether I think this is right or wrong, I think the Bears view resetting their quarterback contract as the right thing to do, regardless of which quarterback they take. I don't think they just think, well, we can't pass on Caleb Williams, so we'll trade Justin Fields. I could see them talking themselves into, Jaden Daniels is that kind of good and special, we'll do the same. I also think there are teams out there that are falling in love with him, and if the Bears decide they could live with one of the other guys, I could see them trading back a spot or two and taking Drake May or someone like that. So what I'm saying is I'm seeing logical ways that I can get myself to the Bears trading Justin Fields and not taking Caleb Williams, which all along had been the way I had been viewing it.
Okay, so I want to make sure that I have this right. You're saying that it's not a fait accompli that the Bears draft Caleb Williams. Do you think that there's a meaningful chance that another quarterback is drafted first, regardless of who makes the pick, though?
I don't.
Got it.
Because I think Caleb Williams is the guy. Look, I've got a lot of my analysts, Dan Orlovsky, Lewis Riddick, people whose opinions I value highly, telling me they like Jaden Daniels. If they had the first pick, they'd take him. I think I've got some people telling me they think Drake May is the best prospect in this class, including Tim Hasselbeck. But I think Caleb Williams is the magic man. I think he is the guy that reminds people of Mahomes. He is the one people I think are going to trade up for. Like, Patrick Mahomes has ruined more franchises in the NFL than he's beaten, right? He beats franchises all the time on the field, but he's ruined them because everyone is trying to find the next Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Zach Wilson made one throw at a pro day that reminded people of Patrick Mahomes. He became the second pick in the draft. He can't play at all. So that's what people are looking for. When you watch the tape of Caleb Williams, if you haven't done it yet, let's say you're not a college football fan, you didn't watch a lot of USC. What I have learned from doing the draft is you can YouTube. I mean, there are unbelievable reels of every single player in the draft. Obviously, Caleb Williams goes without saying. He's a superstar, but whoever the fifth, you know, wide receiver in this draft is going to be, you can watch them as well. If you watch Caleb Williams, I promise you, your first reaction will be, ooh, that looked like Mahomes. Oh, boy, that kind of looked like what Mahomes does. Wow, he kind of looks the way Mahomes looks when he does that. He just looks like him. I don't know if he's as big as him, but he doesn't play small. He doesn't look small on the field. I don't think he's going to measure as big as Mahomes, but he's going to measure big enough. He looks like Mahomes, and I think there are teams out there that are going to talk themselves into, he's the next Mahomes, I'm going to go up and get him.
I think that you're right about that, and I think it would be foolish. I don't want to make the direct comparison between Caleb Williams and Zach Wilson, because Williams was an infinitely better player in college. But the day after Zach Wilson's ill-fated pro day, we had people on Get Up that came on the show and compared him to a combination of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers.
That's
the
correct.
Pre-draft process is undefeated. Mm-hmm. Now, Caleb Williams is extremely talented, and it would not surprise me at all if he wound up being a stud in the NFL. The problem with the Patrick Mahomes comparison is that we all know that Patrick Mahomes is not only the outlier, but walked into a scenario in which he was behind the best bridge quarterback ever, a Hall of Fame receiver, a Hall of Fame tight end, and a Hall of Fame head coach that let him sit for a year. The environment was perfect. So Caleb's plight or lot in life, like all quarterbacks that are drafted lot in life, is where he winds up. And if he winds up going somewhere where he's not fostered in that kind of environment, then he has as good a chance to fail as he has to succeed, just like each and every one of his peers.
So that's a good point. So when the question is asked, who's the best quarterback in this class going to be? The best answer should be, show me who's going to take him. Show me where they're going to wind up, right?
The best answer to that question is by asking another question.
Which is, where are they going to wind
up? Exactly.
Who's going to coach him? What's the circumstance going to be? And not all of them are the same either. Like, some of them may be more ready to play. Some of them may not be as ready to play. Some quarterbacks, I think there isn't one way to develop a quarterback right.
By the way, do we have the Ryan Leaf comments on this? Because I found them fascinating.
So this was Ryan Leaf on the Dan Patrick Show. And look, Leaf is in a tough spot because the first association everyone has with him is that he was a draft bust. I mean, that's just his lot in life, to use your previous point. And then he's had other issues as well. But the truth is, he's gone on to do good analyst work, and he knows more about football than I do, right? And then most people do. So when he gives an opinion, it is worth hearing, even though people who want to discount it will do so. Anyway, he's on with Dan the other day, and he says this about Caleb Williams.
You better be under the understanding that you're going to sit him this year, and that's not going to happen.
Why would you sit him?
Well, because 75% of what he made him so great in college is not transferable to the NFL. He's not going to be able to do that. He can't do what he did in college 75% of the time and be successful at the NFL level. He can do the 25% part at the NFL level, but he needs some time. He needs to get under center. He needs to understand how to throw on time, on platform, from the pocket. What he can do off platform is what makes him so exciting, because he may be one of the most talented quarterbacks in this year's draft and in many in the past year's draft. But he is a guy that I don't think can be a starter on day one.
So that's contrary to what a lot of the conventional wisdom has been. He's played a lot of college football. What do you think?
It is a non-standard opinion, and it is an opinion that I share, believe it or not. Caleb Williams has a chance to be a great NFL quarterback, but I want to speak about the 75% of what he does being non-transferable. I don't exactly know where Ryan arrived at that percentage, but there are a couple numbers that, if not back it up, at least do concern me. Caleb's average time to throw in his college career is astronomically high, north of 3 seconds, which is, at least if you transfer it to the NFL, basically untenable. Over the last 2 years in Lincoln Riley's offense at USC, 37% of his throws were thrown to wide open receivers, meaning there was no defender within 5 yards, which was the highest rate in America. And 1,500 yards over the last 2 years came in the screen game, the most among Power 5 quarterbacks. It was a very college offense. The same offense that Kyler Murray ran approximately, of course, and the same offense that Baker Mayfield ran in college. Both of those guys have had mixed careers in the NFL. All I'm saying is we shouldn't discount Ryan Leaf's opinion just because he said it or because conventional wisdom suggests otherwise. The data do say that Caleb Williams is going to have to play a lot different as an NFL quarterback.
The data do say or the data does say?
Well, data's a plural, is it not?
I don't know. I mean, in this case, it's a plural, but the word itself is not. But
Cam, help me out with this. I'm pretty sure data is a plural.
I mean, just the data do say does not sound right to me, but I don't want to cite.
I think you're both right, yeah.
We've done
no,
too
we're
much
not both right.
No, I'm saying I think data is a plural, but data do say also sounds weird. So where do we land on that?
But the other point is, well, now I forgot what I was saying. You threw me off by saying the data do say.
The data do or the data does.
The data do not do say anything. The data don't. The data don't. The data do, the data don't.
The data do say is ridiculous.
The data do say is ridiculous. Right? I'm not wrong, right, Bubba? I mean, that's just, it sounded, everything he said was making so much sense. And
what's
then he said the
singular
data do say.
Of data?
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 No.
It's like deer and deer?
It is a piece of data versus a lot of data. I actually also say data.
The data do. I'll say
does.
From now on, the numbers say.
Yeah, the data says.
The numbers says.
The numbers says sounds weird.
Well, so does the
so
data
does data do.
Do
say.
Yeah. So anyway, I can't do a show. Like, I'm trying so hard. Rich, stop laughing. The problem is we have our cameraman, Mr. Rich, over here, and he laughs. He eggs Hembo on. Like, Rich,
I have an answer. Data as a singular for lay audiences and plural for scientific and academic writing. So I was right.
I don't even know what you just said.
No.
What?
Data is data as singular for lay audiences.
What does for lay audiences mean?
Let me finish the sentence. You use it as a singular for lay audiences and as a plural for scientific and academic writing. So I got it right.
No, I don't know that you did.
I'm speaking of Caleb Williams' pocket you management have academically.
Now, you have now literally twice read a sentence that I don't understand.
After using a phrase that you just reviled.
I don't know what words you're trying to speak. And they don't make sense to me in the sequence in which you are speaking them.
Yeah, you made it way worse.
Yeah, this whole thing has just gone off the rails. All right, let's do a trivia question.
I got a group trivia question, and I'm going to do some baseball to provide some levity to our lay audience. There are three Major League Baseball franchises on which multiple players hit 500 home runs. And you're going to give me all three teams on which multiple players hit 500 home runs.
Meaning, not their 500th home run, but actually a total of 500 home runs for one franchise.
That's correct.
And there are only three?
There are only three franchises.
Wow.
Oh, there are only three franchises. Sorry. Three franchises that had multiple players doing it. Okay, fair enough. That's the question. The answer is next to ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, this is fun. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The whole crew is in here. Pineapple Jack, Brandon, Mr. Rich, cameraman extraordinaire, is over there with a guest. I think he actually has help for us. It's a great trivia question here, and we'll give you the answer right after this from Vivid Seats. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. All right, Hembo, question.
There are three Major League Baseball franchises on which multiple players hit 500 home runs, and you are going to give me all three franchises on which multiple players hit 500 homers.
So everyone's in on this. Pineapple Jack is just yelling out the names of teams he's heard of. I mean, he's over there. He's like, the Pirates are a good one. Who? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. But they,
is that because he was wearing a Pirates shirt the other day?
He owns a Pirate hat.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. But so here are a couple of things we have. We can say Yankees without even going any farther, right? Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth both unquestionably hit 500 home runs as Yankees. So there's zero chance they're not right, right, guys? So
yep.
We could just let's lock cross that one off. Yankees are one of them.
That's right. Babe Ruth for the Yankees hit 659 homers, and Mickey Mantle hit 536.
Yeah. Okay. So we knew that one. We feel... Bubba feels very good about the Giants. I was thinking about the
Bubba
Giants.
Bubba said Braves.
Braves.
Oh, Braves, sorry.
Hank Aaron, Eddie Matthews.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Oh, it's very good. Well, and then the Giants, I think, would be the other one because Willie Mays is a definite. And we were trying to figure out if Barry Bonds hit enough home runs as a Giant or if there were too many of them that he hit in Pittsburgh. But then Mr. Rich brings up Mel Ott, who hit 511 home runs. Were they all as a Giant? Well, Rich, I mean, you can't give me an answer and then not know. He's confident.
Should we put in Braves first?
So do we feel better about Giants or Braves?
I feel better about Braves, but that's based on Bubba's confidence in them.
Yeah,
so.
Bubba, you feel very confident about this, right? I mean, Hank Aaron is certainly going to be right. The question is...
Well, Eddie Matthews has 500, and I
right.
Okay. I mean, I don't know exactly how many home runs he has. I think he played the majority of his time with the Braves.
Well, you see, you're sounding less and less confident.
Who do you want to lock in next?
I mean, we don't even have any other teams, right?
So we have the Giants and the Braves.
Right, so I mean...
Well, we also have the Red Sox. How many home runs did Big Papi hit as a twin?
Not a lot, but I don't think he hit that many more than 500 in his entire career. So I do think I would say it's in the high 400s that he hit with the Sox.
How many home runs did Albert Pujols hit as a Cardinal?
Oh,
Mark McGwire would have hit so many home runs as an A. Yeah. Never mind. It's
and
not
I,
them.
I think,
not him.
I think Pujols got to 500 and 600 with the Angels, if I had to say.
Okay, yeah. So then it's not them. Okay, then those are our two guesses. So here we go. We've got the Yankees right. Our next guess is going to be the Braves.
That's wrong.
Bubba, I'm going to kill you. Come on, Bubba. Oh, my God. Bubba
so
with his confidence.
Freaking funny.
Giants?
The Giants is correct. The Giants had three.
Oh, so
Bonds
all of them.
Hit 500?
500 home run
right,
hitters.
Mays
that's right.
And Ott.
Come
and
on, Braves.
So
and
who
Ott.
Are we forgetting?
All right, let's
hold
see.
On. Are we,
let's see.
Could it be the Red Sox? Ted Williams and Big Papi?
Lock it in? Well,
no, we're already wrong.
We're already
just tell
wrong.
Us the answer.
That's wrong.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think so.
David Ortiz at 483 for the Red Sox.
That's what I thought.
Who else was on your list?
I don't even remember who else we said anymore. The only names I had written down were Braves, Giants, and Yankees.
Oh, shame
and
on you.
And then we talked about the Red Sox.
Shame on you.
It's not the Cubs, is it?
It's
not
the
Sammy
Cubs.
Sosa and Ernie
yes,
Banks.
Yes, it is!
Oh, man.
I cannot believe
Sammy
that.
Sosa hit 545 home runs for the Cubs, and Ernie Banks hit 512.
Well, that was what I was saying. I said the Cubs at one point. I did. I mentioned the Cubs, and I discounted them almost immediately, and that was really, really, really dumb of me. God, wow. I'm so bad at this game. The only one who really covered himself in glory in that one is Rich. Mr. Rich got that one absolutely right. Pineapple Jack still thinking it's Pittsburgh.
I mean, in his defense,
and
I mean,
Bubba comes in with, oh, there's no question it's the Braves.
I never said that. First of all,
who didn't hit him for the Braves?
Eddie Matthews hit 493 for the Braves.
Oh, come on!
But you still missed the Cubs. It's not like you would have gotten it right anyway.
No, he finished
his career in Detroit.
You're getting mad at me here. I had a pretty close guess.
Eddie Matthews finished his career in Detroit.
It's not like you guys had the other one.
As everyone knows.
I blame Bubba for this. And Jack. All right.
It was bad.
That was a tough one.
I let us down. No
that
question
was a tough
it.
One today. Okay. let's move on to the next thing here. That was a good question, though. I enjoyed that question. Is there any other baseball news we should have in there, by the way, spring training going on?
Yes, in case you're interested in seeing.
Yeah, Mets beat the Yankees yesterday.
the Oakland A's are going to move to Las Vegas and play in a building that looks like the Sydney Opera House.
Bubba is fired up about this, by the way.
I mean, it looks insane. It's so ridiculous.
Okay. So we've got that. I hadn't seen it. But
oh, it is
outrageous.
You got
to take a look at it.
Someone get me a picture.
I've never seen anything more ludicrous in my life than the renderings of the Athletics' next hypothetical stadium in Las Vegas.
Okay. Well, someone get me a picture.
Keep in mind that there's like a roof, but it's not fully enclosed. And remember, it's like 120 in Las Vegas in the summer.
On a cold day.
So there's not going to be any air conditioning or anything. So
It's an open stadium.
It's open air.
Yeah, give me the phone. So this is Pineapple Jack is bringing over the phone. That's the ballpark.
That's the outside.
Yeah, it looks like Australia, doesn't it?
It does.
These guys couldn't even figure out the sewage at O.co, and they're putting that.
Well, there's no way you can play in an open air ballpark in Las Vegas. Not baseball. I mean, they're not even doing it in football.
I don't disagree with you, but I think the level of arrogance and public disconnect required to put that on the internet is astonishing.
Yeah, I mean,
can you believe that?
Are these just like someone's, well, maybe we could do this, or is this them saying this is what we're doing?
Bubba, I thought they were fake. I when I first saw it yesterday, I thought it was a parody.
Yeah,
you never know these days.
That would make more sense, I think.
Yeah, that is insane looking. I don't know how I missed this. This looks like an Olympic venue, right? It doesn't look like you should be walking into the Winter Games in Lillehammer.
Right. No doubt.
That's what this looks like. It would be a good stadium in Lillehammer. Not it's too damn cold.
Leading off
there.
And playing center field, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm with you. Now, look, I mean, things are going to change, but I agree. That does not look like a good place. All right, I have a bone to pick. I have a bone to pick with Evan Cohen. Can I pick a bone with Evan?
Uh-oh.
So I had not heard this or seen it, but Evan, who tweets at Evco Radio, Cam put this in my rundown, that he lists the three rules for the best way to address your quarterback position. Okay? Rule number one, find a quarterback who can outperform his contract. Let me stop you right there. Bubba will remember this. There was a legendary episode of Seinfeld in which George Costanza is missing. And when he comes back, he tells George Steinbrenner, I think I figured out a way for us to get Griffey and Bonds, and it won't even cost us that much. Why did everyone laugh at that, Hembo?
Because it was ludicrous.
Because there's no way you're going to get Griffey and Bonds. If anyone, everyone would get Griffey and Bonds if it didn't cost that much.
Right.
So Evan makes the first rule, find a quarterback who can outperform his contract. Oh, yeah, well, I didn't even find one of those. There's a genius insight. Who the hell hadn't thought of that? That's ridiculous. Find a quarterback who can outperform his contract. Everyone wants a quarterback who can outperform their contract. If they were so easy to find, everyone would have that. It's not like people are sitting around going, well, we could find a quarterback who outperforms his contract, but I'd rather have one who costs a fortune and sucks. That's what I want. I want a really expensive bad quarterback, not a cheap good one. What kind of rule is that? That's like saying, here are my rules for being a basketball player. One, be tall. Be incredibly tall, son. Go out there and grow to be 7'3". Then you'll be in the NBA someday. Okay, thanks, Dad. I'll get to work on it. The hell are you talking about, Evan?
Can I defend him slightly?
No.
I think the subtext here is don't overpay for a quarterback.
Then say that.
Just because you feel like you have to. Once he stops outperforming his contract and is worth too much, I think then he's saying you don't play them anymore.
Can't. That rule is don't overpay a quarterback. That's a good rule.
Thank you.
Find a quarterback who outperforms his contract is not a rule.
It's literally saying
it's a goal.
It is the equivalent of saying find Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, it's the equivalent of saying, like, okay, here are the three rules of non-starvation. Like, if you're living in a place where there is one, find food. Oh. Thanks. Terrific. I'll do that. Hadn't thought of that. That hadn't come up yet. Like, you know what? Whole day. We spent the whole day. Threw it around. Izzy, Larry, the whole group. Hey, what do you think we should do? I don't know. Like, how about we find food? Oh, genius. What a genius you are. Promote that guy.
Let's leave Siberia.
So now I'm going to hire Evan Cohen to run my football franchise because he has somehow figured out in his genius, he has studied the NFL closely and he said, you know, here's what we need. Let's get something really good and not pay that much for it. This is like a rule in life. This is the more
idea.
I think about it. It's not even a rule in football. It's a rule in life. He's basically said, here's what you should do. Here's your first task. Go get something really great that doesn't cost a lot.
It's a good rule.
These are things that almost don't exist in the world. Go out and get yourself a Mercedes.
For $5.
That costs you $11. That's rule one. Once you've done that, then we can talk about rule two. Now, wait a minute. What happened? How do I go about doing that? Oh, well, that's up to you. I'm just the idea guy. I'm just coming up with the ideas here. I don't execute these things. I just throw ideas out there. Go get a really great cheap quarterback. Now we get to rule number two. Wait a minute, boss. Hold on. How do I get a really great cheap quarterback? Well, that's what I pay you to figure out. Like, that's just, you can't start a list with that, or you can't have it on a list anywhere. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I understand the point Evan is badly attempting to make, but it is...
No, everyone on planet Earth understands the point he's attempting to make.
I'm trying to see his side of things, as like he's positing this like it's a novel idea.
That's my point. He's bringing this up like it's something. I don't know. I can't read this book. What should I do? Open your eyes. Oh, I didn't realize that. My eyes were closed. That's why I can't read this book. If I now that I've opened my eyes, it's amazing. You've opened up a whole new world to me. Like these are things that don't need to be said. Some things just go without saying. Am I wrong? Cam.
I understand where you're coming from based on exactly what he wrote, but I think there's a little more.
What do you mean exactly what he wrote? This is Twitter. He wrote this.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think if he, you know, if he were to expand upon the point, then he would make similar points that we're attempting to get to, but he doesn't, you know, say them in this tweet.
I'm surprised he's not running an NFL team by now.
No, I'm serious.
No, look at this tweet.
That is genius. If we fire Joe Douglas, we should hire this guy. Because Joe Douglas hasn't figured that part of it out.
Has Joe Douglas found someone who outperforms his contract?
Hell no.
No, but Evan Cohen could.
He should.
He really should. You know
why hasn't he?
I hope
because he doesn't know the
right
QB
now.
Rules.
The hilarious part is right now driving, you know, from one place to another in New Jersey. He's driving to his office in Florham Park, New Jersey. Thank God Joe Douglas is listening, and he says, "Oh, that's it. That's what I've been missing. I've been spending lots of money on bad players." I had it backwards. What I really should be doing is spending little bits of money on really good players. Oh, get me Woody on the phone. Get Woody Johnson on the phone. I finally figured this all out.
Woody, did you see Evan Cohen's tweet? You won't believe this.
I can't wait until the morning show has like a coach or a GM on soon. And Evan's like, all right, before we let you go, I got my QB rules for you, George Payton. Don't pay a quarterback that doesn't outperform his contract.
Oh, my God.
The best part of this is Hembo trying to defend him so that Evan keeps letting him do the show with him when he's here for me. That's what's happening. But when Evan does the show when I'm not here, Hembo loves it. Like, that's when expression?
It's time to shine.
Like, when the someone is away,
that's when the substitute teacher is.
What is that?
There's a babysitter.
The expression, no, but the expression, when someone's away, the goose is away, what is it?
The gander goose, the goose is.
When someone's away, the data do say.
The cats, when the cat's away, the mice do play? Is that what the expression
Not
is?
Only does Rich know Melot, but he also knows ancient axioms.
Rich is on fire today. Can we get the rest of the QB rules so we know how to run an NFL team here? There's two more rules.
Okay. Rule number two. Draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one. Okay.
When the cat's away, the mice will play.
That literally doesn't mean anything. Also, it's like a thing you say that sounds smart, but actually doesn't mean anything.
I think it's not bad.
Draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
That's what the Packers did.
Yeah, but, like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, so you should not draft a quarterback when you need one?
No, you should. If you want one at the same time.
And not take a quarterback?
If you want one and need one at the same time, then draft one. But the Packers saw something they wanted. Obviously, it led to Aaron Rodgers being disgruntled, but they drafted one when they had a quarterback in place.
Well, then how about this?
Because they wanted one.
What if we phrased it, draft a quarterback even when you don't need one?
Okay, we're making some amendments to the QB rules.
These are not amendments. The other ones are not rules. This is not a rule. And then the last one is pay quarterbacks to make wide receivers great. Don't pay wide receivers to make quarterbacks great. What do you think of that one?
Those are the QB and wide receiver rules.
This sounds like commentary coming from someone that got to watch Tom Brady be his quarterback for 20 years. That's what it sounds like. Because these things applied there and only there, which is why only they enjoy the amount of success that they did.
So, yeah, I mean, for that, for example, right now, let's go to the Dallas Cowboys. Is he saying the Cowboys should not re-sign CeeDee Lamb?
Or is he saying they should draft a quarterback?
So we should pay Dak, but let CeeDee
walk. But he should
walk.
Take less, though.
Yeah, so I mean.
No, he should make Dak outperform his contract.
Right. They should pay Dak $60 million, and he should play like a $100 million quarterback.
Without CeeDee Lamb.
And we got to get rid of CeeDee Lamb.
Get rid of CeeDee Lamb.
While drafting a quarterback this year.
Right. And they should take Michael Penix because they don't need one.
They just want one.
Roast. He says you shouldn't draft a quarterback when you need one.
The words "not when you need one" are on the screen. All I'm doing is reading it.
I mean, there's a 50-50 chance Jerry Jones actually follows these rules.
Jerry Jones is ghostwriting Evan Cohen's tweets.
Okay. So we say all that with love. I mean, we love Evan Cohen, right? I mean, of that there is no question.
He's all right.
Oh.
Well, we're going to find out. So what we have thus far, our impression of Evan so far, is that he's a nice, easygoing guy who's a good sport. We're going to find out if we're right now.
We need to have him on tomorrow.
He's either going to have found this all hilarious or there's going to be a meeting. I'm not sure. I have a lot of experience in this area. Mike and I had a lot of these over the years. Sometimes people found them hilarious. Other times we wound up in a meeting. I'm rooting against the meeting.
Oh my God.
All right, we'll take a short break.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast. Earlier on Greeny.
No. How many people do you think are currently walking around the Bristol campus at ESPN today? How many people do you think are working at ESPN today? Just give me a ballpark.
Let's say 1,000.
1,000?
Yep.
1,000.
If you
walk sounded like he said 12.
This is Greeny.
It did sound like that. I still don't know how I correctly understood it. Listening to it back, how did I get 1,000 from that? We're having a really silly day here.
Let's say 1,000.
Parenthetically, I can't get a hold of Evan. So I think it's possible that there's going to be a meeting. I don't know that for sure, but I think at some point between now and 6 a.m. tomorrow, there may have to be a meeting.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
So you're aware of this, but our audience might not be.
Yeah.
Evan considers you a luminary in this field. And his radio persona has been crafted by listening to your shows over the years for thousands of hours.
Yeah.
He just
thousands
heard you.
Of yeah. Thousands of
hours. Thousands of hours. He just you heard you absolutely eviscerate his novel quarterback rules. It would be like some person I really admire.
I mean, Evan's Mount Rushmore might be Greeny four times.
Destroying me.
Yeah.
That's what just happened.
Well, you know, you got to learn. I mean, you know, at some point, I mean, their life isn't easy, kid. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. So, because I feel bad that he might feel bad about this, I would like to present my own list of rules first. What do most people want more than anything else in the world? What do they want? Is they want to become what?
Happy.
Okay.
Wealthy.
Wealthy. That's the first one.
Oh, I was answering for me.
Yeah, fair enough. You would rather be happy than wealthy?
I would rather be happy than wealthy.
Me
so
too.
You don't think you would become, but my point is you're separating those two. I think most people think if they became wealthy, they'd be happy.
But I don't think that's
not
actually
mutually exclusive.
True.
But they aren't mutually exclusive. It's sort of like Evan's rule about not drafting a quarterback when you want one or need one. Like things that can go together don't necessarily have to be kept apart.
Oh, I can be rich and happy?
In a perfect world.
Then I'll be that.
Anyway, if you say to me, Greeny, at some point we're going to sit down and say, Greeny, I really want to get rich. What's your first piece of advice? I would say.
He's in the room.
Inherit $1 billion.
Interesting.
That's the first key. If you do that, then you have an excellent chance of being rich. And then we'll worry about all the rest of it. Well, how do I inherit $1 billion? Well, I can't think of everything for you. You understand? I can't give you all the answers to the test. I've already given you the most important thing. If you inherit $1 billion, and you know what you will have? $1 billion. That's rich.
Let's say 1,000.
Okay. How did this happen to us? Like, we were doing a serious show today. In Bubba's show note yesterday, which he writes every day, by the way.
Inexplicably.
And well, even further inexplicably, I read it. which is the bigger upset? That Bubba has been made to write a show note every day, or that I actually read it? But I did. And so
we're
all worried. I'm worried, and Bubba's worried, that we're leaning too much into the silly. We have a nice combination of good, insightful, hard-hitting sports conversation and a little silly fun with this little cast of characters that we have delightfully built into this little radio village in which we live as a hashtag crew. And we agreed that we should make sure that we don't ever shortchange the sports. And candidly, I can't remember the last thing we said about sports this show. What was
it? We talked about the QB rules.
Well, we talked about the QB rules, which is, you know, tangentially sports, although it became comedy. My use of the phrase data do scuttled the show.
That ended the whole show. We were in such a good place.
We were on a roll.
We were having an actual conversation about, I think, whether or not Caleb Williams was going to be the best quarterback
it was
in this draft.
Intense draft theory.
I'm old enough to remember that conversation, and we'll see if we can continue.
Do you want a – sorry, one sec. Evan Cohen has a tweet out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
ESPN Greeny has asked for my hockey goalie rules. Here they are. Number one, stop more shots than you let in. Number two, don't leave the net. And number three – wear skates.
No, we just stumbled across the best bet ever.
Good. I think it is now. I'm feeling a little better about the chances that we don't have to have a meeting. Like it seems to me that he's got the idea here. So that's pretty good. Okay, I like it. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. I actually, if I may, must have some quarrel with his first rule. If you merely stop more shots than you let in, that would not make you a very good goalie, would it?
It would make you an awful goalie.
Like, isn't an average hockey game they get something like 30 shots on goal, between 20 and 30?
At least that many.
Maybe
per
more
team,
than
yeah.
that.
So like, just stop 16 of them.
So if you, that would mean you give up like 14 goals a game.
Like, for example, Martin Brodeur's save percentage was 91.2.
But Evan suggests 51.
But would it bring you solace to know that that goalie is wearing skates?
Anyway,
I'm not sure we don't have to have our own meeting here and really just reassess what we're doing. Because I came into the show with the best of intentions. I'm telling you, I came in here today. I'm psyched up. I have so much good stuff in the rundown that I haven't even looked in its direction in a while. At one point, I was going to talk about Dartmouth Hoops players voting to join a local union.
Nah, but let's destroy our mentee instead.
Boy, does that seem like and when you say our mentee, like, are you suggesting that you two are his mentor, or is
No,
me?
No. You're his mentor.
All right, so it's the plural hour.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the royal hour.
The royal hour.
The royal data.
Yeah. So anyway, let's finish it up with some actual football conversation, shall we? I think everyone has it wrong about Saquon Barkley. I got eviscerated today, perhaps not to this level, but I got eviscerated by Lewis Riddick and Ryan Clark, and to a degree, Kimberly Martin, although I think she was kind of on my side. On Get Up, when I said the Cowboys should sign Saquon Barkley because I believe he will have a Christian McCaffrey-esque impact on their offense. Christian McCaffrey is the most valuable running back in the National Football League because the letters RB appear next to his name. We all understand he does a lot more than just take a handoff and run with it. And that's what Saquon Barkley is capable of doing. I think people have pigeonholed Saquon Barkley based on the fact that from the moment he came into the NFL, he has been on terrible offenses with well below average quarterbacks. The one year his below average starting quarterback in the NFL actually started all their games, Saquon Barkley took that team to the playoffs, made the coach a hero, got the quarterback paid $90 million guaranteed dollars, and got himself essentially kicked to the curb. Saquon Barkley is that guy. He's that good. He's just never had a chance to show you how good he could be because he's been on awful teams his whole NFL career. You put him in a creative offense with a good quarterback and you let him catch passes on third downs, catch passes on first downs, run it. You know, you give him 22 touches a game and then you get Tony Pollard another 10, 12. That's the Cowboys offense.
I think that is ideal. It is less, though, for me, a commentary on Saquon Barkley and what he has left. I see him between the 5th and 10th best running back in the NFL, and more commentary on the financials of it, because the Cowboys have other greater needs, not just in terms of backfilling a depleted roster, but also extending players that they need to extend.
Let me just put my response to you in the form of a question. Is James Cook one of the players you have ahead of him on that list?
He is.
Who's his quarterback?
Josh Allen.
How would Saquon Barkley have looked this year in that offense with Josh Allen?
Awfully good.
Awfully good. That's what I'm saying. So all these things are interdependent, right?
Right.
If James Cook was running the ball for the Giants last year, we wouldn't be talking about him like, oh, is he actually better than his brother?
We'd not.
We wouldn't be having that conversation. So give Saquon a chance. I'm glad for him that he's going to wind up getting a chance to play on a different team before he finishes. I hope he winds up getting in a good situation, and my gut feeling is that he will. All right, Evan, wherever you are, we love you. See you tomorrow.
Let's say 1,000.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.